Hillary Clinton on the Democratic side was at Wayne State University yesterday, so Debbie Dingell will check in. Aaron Call going to give us his take, professional debate take from the University of Michigan. And I think his answers about Sunday may surprise you in the look ahead to number three, which will be at UNLV out in the state of Nevada. But when it comes to politicians themselves, and a lot of different folks who are going for different offices right now, there's an old saw that I don't know if it rings true all the way, but one of the oldest lines in the book is this one. How do you tell if a politician is lying? Well, their lips are moving. So that's, you know, haha. It's kind of an old dad joke there, right? It's ancient. It's musty and dusty. And yet there have been studies that say that you can actually get into this and find more than a nugget of truth, especially, you know, there's science to this. What about the psychological factor, and why do people accept so much mendacity? Let's visit this morning with our good friend, Dr. John Braccio. DrJohnB.com is the website. Good morning.
Well, good morning to you, Dave. And this has always fascinated me. Why, when you know someone is lying, that you all of a sudden in the area of sports, you kind of accept it. And you say, well, I guess that's just the way they all are, ha ha. Or you hear it and you know it's not true, so you try to sort out, well, what really is the truth? And I think part of it is, too, that we identify with people when it comes to elections. And if one likes Donald Trump, as an example, and one likes Hillary Clinton, they're going to tend to overlook the flaws in two people that, you know, certainly many people see many flaws in. And they may see that one person is less dangerous than another. Okay, so their flaws are...
You say overlook. I would say blinded at times, but okay.
I think we're blinded, even though I think a lot of times people know it isn't true.
Yeah.
Like if someone says, you know, I hate to use the current persons because you can get 50% of the country mad at you for one or the other. The point is, when you hear something that isn't true, okay, and let's just take the, you know, you can keep your own health plan, this type thing, and that's not trying to knock the past, because I'm sure in that case the president might have thought, well, this is such a good thing for the people, we need to put it through in spite of what they might be looking at, okay? Or when you think of their own views, I guess I'll look at it that way. I tend to support the views of this person. I want to do this, and this person wants to do this. Therefore, I'm willing to overlook everything. Then you have the person lying who's kind of paternalistic or maternalistic and just saying, you know, the little people or the citizens, they really aren't ready to hear about this, so we'll just have to kind of come up with the Bay of Tonkin resolution during the Vietnam.
Gulf of Tonkin, yeah, pretty close, right.
Or we need to come up with weapons of mass destruction, mm-hmm. or we need to deal with the email server didn't know anything about it. And they go on and on and on and on. So the point is, why do people do it? And I think, well, they accept it. They just believe this is what politicians do. And we just kind of go along with it. Like the Washington Post has the Pinocchios, okay? And you can see someone gets in there 2-3 days a week as an example. And it doesn't matter their followers. So I think we often, you've heard the saying, you know, people, you know, receive their representatives according to what they vote for is what they deserve in a way. So if people aren't satisfied, which people don't seem satisfied if we go by polling with the legislature, just as picking one area, the national level I'm speaking, but we keep putting in the same people over and over again. So apparently when people vote for their representative, they're not including them in the people that they're really dissatisfied with. So psychologically, I find it...
We've seen that, Doc. We've seen that time and time again, that people say, you know, Congress is terrible. The state legislature is awful. My rep's okay. Well, my rep doesn't lie, but those other ones are lying SOBs. No, that's a consistent thing that we see. So people delude themselves, don't they?
Well, I think they really do. And what I'm finding is, even when you get the talking head experts talking about the debates, they so often seem to find in the debate the things that they agree with, and they tend to supporting this person one or that person one. So I think it's very hard to get an open view, if you will, because after the debate, each side says they won, and they want to control what everybody is saying or doing. So it's a very complicated thing to really sort out exactly, you know, what is really happening. And then you look at the amount of money that's spent, and is it money that's going to win? Is it going to be organization that's going to win? Is it going to be the ideas? Are each of these people so dangerous that they could destroy the country in the next 8 years, which I hear both sides saying? Everyone sees like the Armageddon if Hillary wins or Trump wins. Well, I think in America, this country can survive people even if they were not that effective. And if we look at the last 100 years, we certainly could find some people that we don't think were very effective. But the country does keep chugging along, and hopefully that is going to continue. I think the thing we have to realize is politicians, they seem to lie. I wouldn't go as far as William Safire, who called Hillary 20 years ago a congenital liar. You could argue the fact that lying seems to be a something that they become to believe. And in 1984, you know, when you hear two inconsistent thoughts, you know, all pigs are equal, but some pigs are more equal. That's... obviously, a lot of people believe that. And apparently in politics, you have people that are willing to accept two completely different thoughts and somehow make them reasonable. And not knocking anyone in particular, but it appears that people overlook and politicians exaggerate or often do not tell the truth under the guise of doing the right thing and helping the people.
Yeah,
always
it,
to help the people.
And of course, that, you know, that was actually referenced in the debate here a little bit, and Hillary Clinton was talking about, Secretary Clinton was talking about how she admired Abraham Lincoln's ability to say maybe one thing to one congressman, something else along those lines sounded very different to another as he was trying to hold the union together unsuccessfully, but that, and then also go forward with the Emancipation Proclamation, which was quite a dance at that time. I think most people would agree with that, but then, you know, Trump got back and he said, "Well, you know, you're comparing yourself. You're like Honest Abe now, right?" And so it became a joke line, and I think a lot of people would wink, wink at that. But it goes to the point that you can find things with politicians where they may not be telling the whole truth, nothing but the truth, at a given time. Doesn't necessarily make it a lie. They have a lot of different constituencies, but a pattern of endless lying. Well, when I was a kid, that Nixon and his administration, they called that, it's an old phrase now, the credibility gap.
We have a credibility gap.
No, you're not telling the truth. That's what it is.
Well, here's one thing. One danger in what you said about Lincoln, which I think is probably very true. Who determines when doing something like that is accurate, not accurate? You know, one end of that is tyranny, meaning we can find examples where not telling the people, if you will, all the facts is helpful, useful. You might even say during wartime you might do that. The point is, and I don't have the answer, this is almost more of a philosophical and analysis step by step.
Yeah,
but
sure.
You're also going to have people that might want to go into a war and feeling the people aren't bright enough to figure it out. They can go into a disastrous war by not telling all the facts, whatever it might be. So the trouble I have, again, I'm always looking at things, all these facts, because you could even argue the Lend-Lease program of Roosevelt, World War II, were completely warlike actions against Germany and Japan when he froze all their assets. We weren't at war with Germany and France, or Germany and Japan. But in that case, I think Roosevelt knew what was the right thing to do with the tyranny of Tojo and of Adolf Hitler. But that was a different set of circumstances. Then when you have the Gulf of Tonkin Resolution, I believe it was during the time of Lyndon Johnson, you have a totally different set of things. So you have to say, when do we do that? Are there circumstances? I don't quite think what we're hearing about right now necessarily rises to the level of the Emancipation Proclamation, you know, kind of get that approved.
You
right
think?
Now.
You may be right. That's an understatement. And when you talk about the lead up to war, you could say, you could have said the same thing too in the Pacific about Roosevelt's cutoff of resources to the Japanese Empire. That was a way. Look, we use carrot and stick, and we did it with Iran here recently, and then of course there was quote unquote the agreement. We could have that discussion going on, but the outright lies, at some point they are exposed. Politicians who engage in them are sometimes and frequently exposed. Does it cost them? That's always another conversation, and we will have to save that one for another time. And you'll want to be listening later as we're going to get into Spartan football here, Doc. And I know you'll have some concerns of your own about that. It's always good to talk to you here. Have a wonderful one.
Can I give you one last thought?
You may.
The Team of Rivals is a book, I believe, is Doris Kearsley. It's about Abraham Lincoln.
His cabinet,
the last 20 years, it's one of the best books I have read. And if you want to really read about a guy who kind of fell into the nomination and won the election and rose to greatness, it clearly was Abraham Lincoln. That's a great book, by the way.
And if you ever want to talk about people who are maybe doing the if you're a chief executive and you want to talk about people who can backstab you, there were a few right there with Roosevelt's with Roosevelt's cabinet, with Lincoln's cabinet. Yeah, Doris Kearns Goodwin, I think, was the author. It's a great book. I agree.
Yes.
Yeah, absolutely.
Alman Chase, among others. Yes, that's right.
Yeah, absolutely tremendous. Regional Psychological Services, East Lansing. Dr. John B., the podcast, will be there.